Mr. Williams, we have our streaming and recording and
Recording is up. The stream is up, and we are set.
Okay. Okay, we're going to call the meeting to order. Let the record show that all board members are present. The Pledge of Allegiance, Mr. Gary Criddle, can you please lead us in the pledge?
Sure, please stand. Better turn around here. Salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Trustee Criddle. So, announcement taken in closed session. By a unanimous vote, the board denied a request to hear the complaint appeal under the district's uniform complaint procedure. The district's complaint compliance officer investigation report will therefore be the final decision of the board. The district's compliance officer shall issue the final decision to the complainant in the manner set forth by Administrative Regulation 1312.3. Comments from board. Oh, one moment before we do that. I would like to thank Mr. Williams tonight. We are kind of doing a trial run for, there's actually three board members that are in the boardroom tonight, and we're trying to work out, make sure we get all the bugs worked out and see if we can try to expand that. But thank you, Mr. Williams, for everything. To all of our listeners joining by phone tonight, please note that you will be muted for the majority of the meeting. If you would like to unmute yourself to participate in the discussion, please press *6 on your phone. Please note that the meeting host may mute or unmute you during the meeting, and that an announcement on your phone will let you know when that happens. Thank you. And now, let's see. Comments from board members. Trustee Davis?
Yes, I'm very thankful for all the work that's been done to get our Kink Association satisfied with our reopening. And I'll just make a note of the outstanding contributions we've received from the public. It's close to $3,000, and that kind of support is hard won. So we really, really appreciate that. That's all for now.
Thank you, Trustee Crawford.
excuse me. I just, it's great to see all the employees getting their shots at the fair. That's tremendous. It's, third week now, Mr. Cena? Good job. Thank you.
Trustee Boone?
And no comments.
Trustee Doug Crill?
No comments at this time. Thank you.
Trustee Hasty?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Trustee Gary Criddle.
Yeah, just a really quick comment. Brian, if you could share your slide on the screen there. This is a resource I wanted to share with all parents, teachers, administrators, everybody out there. I've been doing some research for helping teens dealing with all the issues that are going on right now. It's called teenlineonline.org, and Brian, if you could scroll down just a little bit. It's Teens Helping Teens. They can call through the telephone and text and email and all that stuff. There is a video on this page. I don't want to play it right now, but that one right there kind of gives you an insight to what the program is all about. I did reach out to one of the organizers. I said, hey, what can you guys do? What does it cost? She said there's no cost to this, to do an outreach program. So for those of you who are interested in it, you can use this as an individual resource, or you can do something in your classroom or at your school. So just another resource for you guys to use, teenlineonline.org. Thank you. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you. Thank you, Trustee Criddle. Again, I would like to thank our public. Looking at today's case rate, we're at 8.5 with a 4.9 positivity rate. And through all the hard work that our public's doing, we're slowing the spread of COVID-19. And as we keep our eye on that ball, we're looking for the number of 7 so we can get down to opening our secondary schools. So again, thank you to the community for everything that you're doing. I also want to thank the district's bargaining team and MUTA's bargaining team for all the work that they've done the last week or so with regards to negotiations. Thank you to all. Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association. Hi, Ms. Stiegel.
Hello. Good evening, Mr. Rasmussen. And good evening to the rest of the board and our DO personnel that I see and quite a few other people, and I'm sure online as well. I want to start off this evening with, I can't even find the words for it, but a big shout out, many thanks, kudos, congratulations, much appreciated to all of our TK through sixth grade teachers, including our somewhat surprised sixth grade teachers at the middle school level for doing such an amazing job returning to in-person instruction and blended or full distance learning. They have been doing a phenomenal job, and the hours and time commitment dedication that they are putting in are a well-deserved, much appreciated high five. But as always, our personnel, our teachers here are amazing, but wanted to make sure that I acknowledge them, particularly this evening. I would also like to bring up a timely and much supported topic and bring that to the board's attention this evening. And that topic or request is regarding administrator evaluations at both the site and the district office level. We've had numerous teachers approach us probably over the last couple of months and asking MUTA about this topic. It used to be something that we did every year, but now it has been some years since we have done so. And so there are a number of teachers who have brought it up, along really positive lines. They want to make sure to be able to share with the district and the board in particular that, you know, their administrators are doing really well, especially given the current situation. There are others, of course, who would like an opportunity to voice concerns or just even provide input in an effort towards improvement. Also, as most people are aware, and as the board has even mentioned, we did have fact-finding at the end of February. As a result of that, we have a tentative agreement towards or as part of an MOU for phase 2 blended full distance learning. We are hopeful that the district will uphold its agreements and that we can get the full MOU completed on that very soon. And so along those lines, we wanted to make sure to thank the Assistant Superintendent for Personnel Services, Romero Carrion, who gave up a large chunk of his Friday to work with us towards that goal. It's a big task, a big goal. And so last Friday, I think he gave up about 4 hours of his time to try to make that happen. So that is also, again, much appreciated. Speaking of negotiations, we still need to negotiate for this year, just our regular contract negotiations, so we still have that to go. As such, we would like to encourage the board to direct the district's team to work with MUTA without the lawyer's involvement, especially considering the district has already spent well over $120,000 just since May to bargain against your teachers. Trying to keep things short also this evening, I really would just like to end again on a positive note, thanking our TK through sixth grade teachers and all of our unit members and all of our students who have exhibited such perseverance and resilience and dedication. And I greatly admire and appreciate all of them and would just like to end on that note of admiration. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Stiegel. Operating Engineers, Local Union Number 3.
Good afternoon, Board Chair Rapsenson. This is Felix from the union. I just wanted to just give a brief update. We did have our first informal meeting, a meet and greet with the district's bargaining team. We have sunshined our proposals for this year and next year, which you have before you today. And we will be meeting hopefully again on the 17th on St. Patrick's Day. And so I hope to get a little bit of an update on the finances for the district for this year, 2021, and projections for next year, 21-22. And we look forward to meeting with you and your team. Thank you very much.
Thank you. California School Employees Association, number 326 and number 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees. Dr. Greco.
Good evening, board. I just want to take a moment for AMACE to talk to everybody who's out there listening just briefly. And we brought this up in the AMACE address way back at the beginning of all of this. But as we start to return and we get kids back on campus, I'd just like to ask everyone to think about what everyone's been through, especially your students and families, and not to jump on the whole narrative of learning loss and learning loss with the kids. We know there are things that we have to catch up on. We know there are things that we need to work on, but we hope that you're making the time and space in your classrooms to do those social emotional things, to welcome the kids back and truly welcome them to our schools. That re-engagement process is going to lead to far better learning down the road. But we just want to encourage you all to make sure you're staying well and that you're helping the students stay well. And thank you all for being back. And that's all for tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Greco. Supervisory unit. Public comments. For teleconference meetings, please submit your public comment card located on the district webpage at www.mjusd.com under board before the board meeting begins. Persons wishing to address the board are requested to fill out a public comment card before the start of the meeting and give it to the secretary, board president, or superintendent. The public may address topics not on the agenda during this section of the agenda or ask that they be heard during a specific agenda item. Comments are limited to a maximum of 3 minutes per speaker, 20 minutes total time for public input on each item per board bylaw 9323. The Ralph M. Brown Act prevents the Board of Trustees from responding to these comments with the exception of clarifying questions. The California Government Code Section 54954.2.A states, no action or discussion shall be undertaken on any item not appearing on the posted agenda, except that members of a legislative body or its staff may briefly respond to statements made or questions posted by persons exercising their public testimony rights under Section 54954.3. We do have a public comment card.
The one comment card was pulled for tonight. I just got a text saying not tonight.
We have no public comments. Thank you. Next, we have the superintendent's report. Mr. Cena, you're muted.
Excuse me. Thank you. Together, serving every student every day in every way. Today marks almost exactly a calendar year since our first experiences with COVID. And throughout this journey, we've had four goals: to help slow the spread of COVID-19, ensure the health and safety of students and staff, maintain relationships, and facilitate student learning. And our current focus has been, and today is the 360th day since our last traditional full day. And today, as was mentioned earlier, that we have now opened preschool through sixth grade. And that this is an effort from everyone in the district, no matter what our role, it's been working to this point, and it's been people gang tackling and somebody running and taking the lead, and then people supporting and making it a reality. So today, our director of student attendance and discipline, Jolie Critchfield, has collected some pictures and has some images to honor today's happenings.
Thank you, Gary Cena and the board. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to showcase what's been happening at the school sites. It's so exciting being out there. The kids are excited. We're excited. This has been a long time coming. Truly, when we talk about it's been a year of planning, planning, changing plans. And like Gary said, you know, we started slow. And then we kind of grew. We've always invited kids on campus when Dr. Liu gave us the thumbs up with those specialized groups. So that kind of gave us a way to kind of practice our protocols and making sure we're following all of the health and safety procedures. And so getting the kids back on campus, we just put those into to action. Do you have the PowerPoint, Brian? And I know Kathleen Hansen and Joe Seiler were going to be present as well, because Foothill and McKinney for the first time had students in-person instruction with their teachers, and they're going to speak on their slide. So truly, we are so lucky and blessed to be part of Marysville Joint. Really, when Angela was talking about the teachers and our administrators and our support staff, we all really have the common purpose, and that's about students. And so I always like to have quotes in our slides, because really this is what we're about. And, you know, Gary always says, you know, what can we be the best at? And I really feel like it's that relationship piece with families and students and parents. And you can see that with the fact that we still have most of our students still in Marysville Joint. So next slide. Last week was Dr. Seuss's birthday. So to bring back some normalcy to the schools, our administrative and teaching staff dressed up as well as students. And next slide. We got a couple quotes from students about pajama day. I thought this was really funny. Lori Guy shared this from Edgewater School, that they had pajama day to celebrate, and the little girl didn't want to wear pajamas because she's been wearing pajamas since the distance learning has taken place. We have our officer, SRO Delaney, that spoke and read to a class doing kind of the hybrid and in-person instruction. He's there using the Elmo. And then we have Derek Morrison, who's known as Batman at his school. And then our kids from Covalade with their masks. Next slide. So at a lot of our schools, you'll see that there's more than one entrance for students to check in and get the wellness check. So they're not, all kids aren't funneling through the same gate. So any campus that you go on, there's at least two probably or three entrances. At Cedar Lane, they have the teachers kind of listed. This is the gate that those students go through, and they check their temperature. They had music playing, which really was fun for the kids to just really welcome them and say we're so happy for them to be here. Next slide. So I'll go ahead and leave this to Kathleen. She's going to speak on her first day of school.
Good evening, President Rasmussen, members of the board. Thank you, Mrs. Critchfield. You know, I think every educator would agree, one of our favorite days of any school year is that first day of school. And I spoke with a colleague of mine last week who said it's like having seven first days of school. And that's what today was for those of us who are K-6 principals. Today marked our seventh first day of school. So a true silver lining in that regard. I have to admit, when we learned that the sixth grade was going to open on two campuses that are middle schools, our secondary campuses, I won't speak for Mr. Seiler, but there was a bit of head scratching on my end of how we were going to pull that off. And I have to tell you, I'm still walking around on a bit of a high after today. It has turned out to be an incredible blessing. To be able to have our sixth graders back, to be able to practice our routines and procedures and our protocols for safe travel through the building, transitioning between classrooms, going out to the playground for recess, pickup and drop off procedures, nutritional services, who I continue to not be able to say enough about, and that the smooth procedures that they set up for us. And it made I feel very ready for our seventh and eighth grade. So, that's the blessing that being able to bring sixth grade back, did. I need to echo a couple words that Mrs. Stiegel said earlier, because I think nothing is more true. She used the words perseverance, resilience, and dedication. And I have to tell you, every single staff member, this is not a job that anyone can do alone. I sit back in absolute amazement of what I witnessed staff do today. I could go on forever, but I'm not going to. If you can't tell, I'm a little bit excited that our sixth grade is back on that middle school campus. We debriefed after school, the sixth grade team and I, and we are honing in on some things that we want to refine to make even more smooth. But two comments that were made by sixth grade teachers. One, I was pleasantly surprised how smoothly everything went. And the other one, which is the attitude I think everybody has, and that is, we're going to get through this. So we're ready for Thursday. It'll be our next first day of school with our cohort B.
Thanks, Mrs. Hansen. Next slide. These are some of the quotes from your students. I thought they could read on their own, but they were really cool. I didn't know if you wanted to point any of them out.
Well, not in particular. I think you can just see a theme. I asked the kids, what excites you the most about being back in school? And it was seeing their teachers. It was seeing their friends. And it was getting out from behind that computer to be in person. So that was the theme of every single student that I got to speak with today.
Thanks
for letting me share those, Mrs. Kirchfield.
Thank you so much for being here. Next slide. And I think we have Mr. Seiler here from McKinney School.
Hi. Yes. Hi, Julie. I appreciate the platform. Thank you. Today was definitely a day of celebration. This wouldn't be possible without the trust and support of so many people. Big thank you, MJUSD board members, district leadership, teachers, support staff, and family. The countless hours behind the scenes, prepping, preparing, and adjusting for this day, we were all able to reap the rewards. I thank you all for this. There are a few quotes that resonated with me. If we can go to the quotes. The first one, I feel amazing. There was definitely a pep to everyone's step. That was one of my favorite quotes. And the second one coming in was nervous, excited, a little scared, but I don't know why. It sounded a lot like my daughter on her first day back, and these kids kind of remind me of my own kiddos at home. So we had a great day. We had our cohorts for seventh and eighth graders going as well. The seventh, we had 93 students total today, and we expect 92 on Thursday and Friday.
That's so awesome. Thank you, Mr. Seiler. And SRO Delaney brought me one of the water bottles. So I'll be using it. Thank you. Next slide. That was cool. I like the Lysol on the counter too that you guys had there. So I thought this was pretty cute from Edgewater student. What are you looking forward to most about being back at school? Seeing the rest of my teacher. I've only seen her face. So they get to see their half of their teacher's face with the mask on. So that's cute. Next slide. So a lot of the office staff has been working really hard to kind of put safety protocols in place. So if you've been to Kynoch before, their counter was inside where parents would go inside the office. So they have this counter that they designed so that parents can be outside for that safety protocols. And they made it the bus, school bus. And I this must have been Derek Morrison's touch, the bat bus, because he's our Batman in the district. So that was really cute. Next slide. So again, we're super creative at a lot of schools where they're marking the hallway still outdoors to remind students to socially distance. In this one hallway, they had Pac-Man doing the dots around the sidewalk. I have a difficult time speaking sometimes. Next slide. And then I thought this was, you know, with our bigger schools and stuff, kind of keeping kids down the right hallways. They're not mixing in their stable groups. At Kynoch, they color-coded hallways, and so they have the hallways as well as the poles that are color-coded as well, which I thought was really creative. So you'll see all this creativity at every school site that you go to. It's just really amazing. Posters covering walls, welcoming students back, balloons. I think our parents and our students are really happy, and the teachers are truly doing an amazing job. Next slide. And this is just an understatement. I was able to go to a couple classrooms and read, just balancing the distance learners as well as those that are in the seat, is definitely, there's a finesse to it, and our teachers have it down. It is not an easy task, and I was just in awe of what I see throughout our district, how they're keeping those kids engaged that are online and those engaged in the classroom. And so just kudos to all of our teachers and support staff that are just working so hard to keep these relationships alive. And I'm so happy that our kids get to see their teachers online and in the classroom, the same teachers that they bonded with. So this is good news for our kids. Next slide. And just the last slide is, it's what we do every day matters more than what we do once in a while. And I feel in our district, we work so hard for our kids and our families, from, you know, our support staff to our custodians, bus drivers, cafeteria teachers, administrators, superintendent, board members. I mean, I just feel like we're all on the same page. We all want what's best for our kids. And I think we're doing just an amazing job. There's always things we can improve. And we meet every Friday with our office staff to see what things we need to work out. We share with one another what's working at one site. We beg, borrow, and steal from each other, and just to improve what we're already doing, because there's always room to be better, but I think we're doing amazing. So thank you tonight for allowing me to share. I have a little bounce in my step as well, so seeing our kids back in school. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Critchfield and team. So 360 days, our focus has been to reopen schools. And today, for the first time in a long time, we've got up to the sixth grade. And so and that puts students being on campus puts a charge in everybody. Even if people aren't on campus, it sends a charge, a positive charge throughout the whole system, because it reminds people why we're here, and what we do. And so to hear from the students is special. And as you see, there's been so much focus on facial coverings, distancing, messaging, signage, ingress, egress, symptom screenings, the routines of getting people in the process, the playgrounds being able to, again, this is people working together as a gang tackling in pursuit to help every student every day in every way. And as was said, teachers are knocking the ball out of the park. And so, and that's what this has all been about. This has all been about slowing the spread, ensure the health and safety, maintain the relationship when it comes down to the student and the teacher. And that's what it's been about. And that's what the teachers, all the training, all the prep, all the work, to make this happen and to do it and to have their students in their classroom no matter what happens. If a student has symptoms or is a direct contact, no matter what, the constant element in their life is their teacher, and for the teacher, their students. And so thank you very much for maintaining those relationships. Now our focus, we get up to the sixth grade, and now we're focusing on secondary schools. And so we're looking for the red tier, and we have a mechanism in place. And so today, as we know now, the state releases its case rates and tier rates on Tuesday at 1 o'clock on COVID-19.ca.gov. By 1 o'clock, they share the update information. So today for Yuba County, our case rate is now down to 8.5. Now the magic number is 7 for purple. So we're not in the purple tier yet, and we haven't been practicing the purple criteria as of yet. But as you know, vaccinations, and as you've seen and heard this week, the state is strategically applying more 2 million additional, are targeting 2 million vaccinations in the areas that are least vaccinated with the highest case rates, so that they can then reduce the standard for the tiers, which will allow counties to open to the red tier sooner than later. But they won't actually do that until those 2 million doses are administered. But this is all going to happen very quickly. And so as we're moving forward on our journey, what we'll look at is this and what it'll look like in terms of a mechanism. Mechanism will be that Tuesdays is when the state reports its information. So we will know when we are on the red tier on a Tuesday. And that night, we will send out notification to all stakeholders that we will start 2 weeks, two Tuesdays after that. And it'll be on a Tuesday, starting with cohort A. And then we'll all be on the same page and we'll be moving forward. Now, could that happen next week? It's possible. It's possible that Yuba County could enter the red tier next week on the 23rd. So if we did enter the tier next week, the red tier, then it would be March 30th, secondary schools in-person instruction. If it's the 23rd, then it would be April 13th. So we're on our journey, and we're also working toward next year and the future. So tonight, just previewing a couple of new business items. One is we're asking the board to approve the reopening of Abraham Lincoln School as a school in our district, really to help provide a building block for the future and what distance learning and virtual learning are all about, and having a structure in place that can best accommodate and support and provide that service for many families, including students who are completing the A through G and the UC requirements. In addition, tonight we'll hear a report from about Abraham Lincoln will be from our executive director of educational services, Dr. Rocco Greco. And then also tonight, Penny Lossing, our assistant superintendent of business services, will be presenting the second interim financial report, which will give us a temperature check on the economy and funding of schools and our district. And one thing I wanted to point out just in terms of this pursuit, this gang tackling, is when you see tonight that our unduplicated count actually dropped 1.86 percentage points, when you see that and hear that and you see that in that funding formula that our district is decreased of $1 million, please understand that in COVID, getting the educational benefit forms to students and families is a major, major chore. And that for districts our size and larger, the amount of percentage that's dropped is way more. Some districts 20%, because COVID, there's so many more barriers to get through to get those forms and get them back. So the reason for bringing it up is when you see that, please know that a team of people working together, site administrators, secretaries, attendance clerks, pass officers, SROs, district administrators, people working to get those forms to help provide services for students so that we can continue to open our schools and prepare secondary schools for getting open and make preparations for next year and beyond. So working together to serve every student every day in every way.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cena. Next, we have the approval of minutes. Minutes from the regular board meeting of 2/23/21. Is there any discussion regarding the minutes? If not hearing any, I'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion to approve by Trustee Doug Criddle. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Davis. Roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Crawford?
Yes.
Trustee Boom?
Yes.
Trustee Doug Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Hasty?
Yes.
Trustee Gary Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries, 7 yes. Next, we have the consent agenda. Are there any items on the consent agenda that a board member would like to have pulled? Not hearing any, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the consent calendar.
Motion to approve the consent agenda by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Hasty. Roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Crawford?
Yes.
Trustee Boom?
Yes.
Trustee Doug Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Hasty?
Yes.
Trustee Gary Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries, 7 yes. New business, nutritional services, resolution 2020-21/20, National School Breakfast Week. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the resolution proclaiming 3/8/21 through 3/12/21 as National School Breakfast Week. Director Watson?
Hi, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to bring this resolution to the board. I want to take a moment to join the nation in recognizing National School Breakfast Week. Right now in COVID times, we are serving breakfast daily still, and we're serving curbside as well as meals going home at the end of the school day in our meal bag. And we just have a few activities planned this week, mostly on social media and some excitement at curbside, crazy hat day, sports day, kind of some dress up days this week. And we're advertising through social media. But we just want to recognize that breakfast is one of the most important meals of the day. And we know our community really relies on it. So thank you for this time to take this proclamation forward.
Board members, questions or comments?
Thank you, Amber.
I would also like to say thank you to you and your team for all that you're doing for our kids and our families. Thank you very much. Any other comments or questions? I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Trustee Crawford. Is there a second?
Second, Gary Criddle.
Second by Trustee Gary Criddle. Roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Crawford?
Yes.
Trustee Boom?
Yes.
Trustee Doug Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Hasty?
Yes.
Trustee Gary Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries, 7 yes. Next, we have Personnel Services 2020-21 Initial Bargaining Proposal from OE3 to MJUSD. Purpose of the agenda item is to request the board hold a public hearing to introduce the initial proposal for the Operating Engineers Local Number 3, OE3, to the MJUSD for the 2021 school year. Public hearing is now open. Mr. Carrion?
Yes, thank you, President Rasmussen. Ultimately, this is a requirement under the Educational Employment Relations Act that the various representative groups, along with the LEAs or public agencies, would ultimately engage in bargaining for a successor agreement. And this is a first step in the process with the Operating Engineers Local Union Number 3. As stated earlier, we have had a preliminary meeting, and ultimately the board will guide its staff to determine its own initial proposal to the operating engineers, along with the other five bargaining groups, and we'll engage with them and hopefully have productive conversations as well. Certainly recommend that the board continue with this public hearing and then ultimately allow the board, staff to continue the process to engage other groups.
Thank you. Any comments or questions from board members? From the public? Not hearing any. Is there a motion to close the public hearing?
Motion to close the public hearing.
Motion to close by Trustee Boom.
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Doug Criddle. Roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Crawford?
Yes.
Trustee Boom?
Yes.
Trustee Doug Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Hasty?
Yes.
Trustee Gary Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries 7 yes. Next, we have Educational Services, reopening of Abraham Lincoln Home School. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the reopening of Abraham Lincoln Home School. Dr. Greco?
Thank you, President Rasmussen. So, board, tonight, I don't have a formal presentation, just a few things that I'm going to run through and then a conversation if you would like to have it. So moving forward, what we've looked at with independent studies or Abraham Lincoln is, and I think this is something Doug, Gary, and Frank, who have all worked with independent studies at some point, can say, independent studies is not something that is for everybody. If it was, we would probably just stay on distance learning forever. But there is a select niche of kids that it is perfect for. And right now, while we have many kids struggling, there are actually kids thriving in this environment. When we look at educational options or filling niches around us, you learn from some of the charters or some of the places where kids have gone from our district during this time. And what you look at there is the ability to have a full comprehensive independent studies program. So our teachers have worked diligently after hours with program here. So we have a district independent study program, which use teachers from around the district after their regular school days were done. What we're looking to do is to WASC accredit that program initially. So we went to go to do WASC accreditation. So what WASC accreditation is, for anyone out there not aware, that's the Western Association of Schools and Colleges. WASC accreditation allows you to enter your courses into something called UCOP, which is basically the president's office for the University of California. By doing that, it then meets what's called A through G requirements. A through G requirements are what you have to have above your high school requirements in order to be able to get into a four-year institution in this nation. So to be able to go out directly to Berkeley or Davis or somewhere else, the school has to have WASC accreditation. When we initially went to WASC this year to start that process, they cannot accredit a program. So right now it's a district program, not technically a school. So what we're asking is to reopen Abraham Lincoln so that Mr. Gray and his team can begin through the WASC accreditation process. We can get the courses entered into UCOP and be able to create a full educational program that's independent studies based out at Abraham Lincoln, or where Abraham Lincoln used to be. Now, in that, you would have the standard independent studies model where you're meeting once a week. There would be labs available for students who are struggling to come and get assistance or help. But we've also learned that through this whole process, people have kind of vacillated on whether they want to be in school or don't. We imagine that's going to continue for some years to come. And we want to make sure that we have, for the staunch stakeholders out there that want to keep their kids out of school, or this has worked well for, we want to make sure they have the option to be able to get everything else. So on top of the WASC accreditation, this school will be set up so that students are able to co-enroll in the CTE classes and then any other classes at the main campuses where there's space available in the course, as well as starting to create a CTA program out there at the school itself that gives some career skills and some transitional skills. We believe as well with next year and some of the legislation that we're seeing come through on the ABs, that if we have additional fifth year seniors or students that are still looking to continue, that we have a place for them to be able to do so. So those are the reasons that we're bringing this forward right now. The packet of documents I gave you had a bunch of stuff, and I've continued to add to it for CDE. But if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them at this time.
It's great to hear that you're getting accreditation, Rocco. That was so important and a major stumbling block because it's an excellent program, and I'm really glad to hear that. Good job. Thank you.
Dr. Greco, great job, but this is really good news. I'm glad to hear that you're heading this up. You mentioned that there might be some CTE involved in that. Can you actually elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, so I think part of what we need to do, and there needs to be some more stakeholder engagement on this, we don't want to duplicate any of the programs that the county can already offer or that we can get through Sutter County Schools or that are already in existence. What we're trying to do is to look at what is not being met. So, for example, if we look in this area right now, you've got a lot of medical tech type positions that are coming up. So what we want to do is we want to essentially form a business council, talk to our community on where are the gaps. Like, where could you be able to hire students in directly right now if they're not looking to go to a 4-year or they want to start at the 2-year here and then be able to work in some kind of skilled trade? So where that goes, no idea. Will that be vet tech? Would it be medical occupations, something along those lines, construction-based? That would kind of come from the community. I could see already a huge need. We met with the 228 union just down the way, so the pipe fitters, the ability to do pipe fitting and being able to go out into the community and work from there may be the direction we go, hopefully eventually expanding into the shop area behind that school and being able to set up some actual facilities. So whether it be welding or something along those lines, I think that has to kind of come from our business council. And I think we need to establish that in order to figure out what is actually employable in our community and where are the community needs.
Great. Thank you very much.
Any other comments or questions from board members? I would also like to thank you, Dr. Greco, you and your team for bringing this back to life. I think it is going to serve our students well. And thank you, Mr. Gray, for all that you're doing for this. No other comments or questions? I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve, Gary Criddle.
Motion to approve by Trustee Gary Criddle. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Doug Criddle. Roll call vote. Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Crawford?
Yes.
Trustee Boehm?
Yes.
Trustee Doug Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Hasty?
Yes.
Trustee Gary Criddle?
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen, yes. Motion carries 7 yes. Thank you. Next up, Business Services, 2020-21, the second interim financial report. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the 2020-21 second interim financial report for period ending 1/31/21. Mrs. Lossing?
Thank you, Board President Rasmussen. Good evening, board members, Superintendent Cena. Mr. Williams will have the PowerPoint up in just a moment. There we go. And this is our second interim budget. Next page, please. Here's a list of what we'll be discussing. I think we should just get right to it. Next slide, please. This is going to look familiar. I try to show this LCAP budget cycle flowchart so that we recognize exactly what numbers it is that we're looking at. Right now, you see the big red, we are here, second interim. We always start the year with the adopted budget and the adopted LCAP effective July 1. Then in September, we'll approve the unaudited actuals from the prior year, and that's indicated by the goldenrod. So there's really 3 years in any 1 year. The blue circles are all this year. We had first interim in December when we had our 3 brand new board members. You'll remember that. Since then, the governor has released his budget proposal for next fiscal year for the state. So we have some impact of that that I'll be explaining. So now we're here at March, second interim. We'll be working on the preliminary LCAP, Dr. Greco, and working on budget development for next year, April through May. And May, there'll be a May revise to the governor's budget proposal for next year. That'll kind of solidify what the numbers will be that we use to formally adopt our budget and LCAP in June for next year. So that's the way the budget cycle, LCAP cycle works. So this year, right now, we're looking at the difference from first interim in December to second interim this year, budget. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. What's new with our second interim? You might recall from December that we had a big picture look at California, and we're doing it again. Not to spend a lot of time on this, but there's lots of risk to the California economy and therefore the state budget. You know, we've seen the commercial real estate market collapse. We've seen residential rents in the city centers, like San Francisco, rents are down 25% since COVID-19 began. Sacramento and some, we're suburb of Sacramento. We're beneficiary communities where rents are rising, and that's good if you're the landlord, but not so good if you're the renter. We have to be concerned about our small businesses and how they're going to endure the pandemic economy. The delay of our students returning to school has had a pronounced effect on the state economy. And then our lower than expected rollout of vaccine. However, that is speeding up, so that's good news. Next slide, please. And why I talk about the big picture of California is, and I may have said this in December, and you'll probably hear me say it again, but school districts will only do as well economically as the state does. Because based on Proposition 98 and how we're funded through the state, we're funded at about 34% of the state budget. So this, and you may recall from December, we looked at the big three areas of revenue for the state, and that's personal income tax, by far the highest, sales tax and corporate tax. And you can see here, there's 3 years outlined, 1920, which was last year, current year, 2021, and then next year, 21-22. And you see everything, for the most part, increasing. Next slide, please. So this is state budget projections of a surplus for this year and next year, and then budget shortfalls in the three following years. And I wanted to share this. This was actually from school services and the governor's budget proposal in January. And that's what next year looks really good. You'll see that right there in the middle, the 21-22, the state's projecting a budget surplus of $15 billion. But then it drops off significantly and continues with deficit spending the out years. Next slide, please. And that's where I wanted to share with you, here's our local control funding formula planning factors. The first year is the current year. And as you can see, the first line of percentages is what the statutory COLA is currently, and then in the out years is what's projected for the statutory COLA. But what's important for us and for other school districts is to see the bottom line of percentages are the funded COLA. And as you see, the 2021, this year, the statutory COLA from the Department of Finance was 2.31%, but we're getting funded at zero. So our local control funding formula is using that zero this year. And until the governor's budget proposal in December, we used the COLAs for 21-22 and 22-23 as also zero, because that's what was projected at the time. We hadn't, I don't think we had realized yet, the COVID was too new. And so everything was at zero up until the governor's budget proposal in January. And so you see the 3.84, and they're actually trying to make up for not funding us this year. And so next year, they're going to take that 2.31 that we should have gotten this year and then compounded with the 1.5%, which would be the statutory COLA projected for next year. They're projecting that schools will have 3.84% COLA next year. And that's what our multi-year projection, which we'll get to in a little bit, is going to indicate. And then the 2.98 in the out year. And we always look at the current year and the subsequent 2 years for a multi-year projection. I will note that School Services of California's dartboard also shows COLAs, but at a lower amount for the 22-23 and 23-24. And I believe that's because, Brian, if you go back one, I think that's because of this projected shortfalls that are coming in the future. So we don't know, you know, it's all a projection at this time. So let's just move forward to, if you would, Brian. But just I wanted to mention that because we take so much information from school services. All the school districts use them as a liaison from the big giant governor's budget proposal, and they will disseminate to school districts what does that mean for us. So we depend on them a lot. That's why I would mention that their COLAs were less, but we were using the Department of Finance COLA for our multi-years. So here's a look. This is going to look familiar. It's a slide from the first interim, but I wanted to just show that at that time we had spent to date over $9 million in CARES Act funds. These categories that were reported are defined by the state. And then, Brian, if you'd move forward one more. I wanted to let you know that that there was the $14 million in the original ESSER funds, Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief Funds. And now, on December 27th of 2020, just 3 months ago or less, then President Trump passed the additional ESSER II round of funding, and we're to receive $13.1 million additional funds. That's new funds, and then they've expanded on the use of those, which I wanted to make sure that our board was aware of, that it's going to now also be allowed for school facility repairs and improvements to reduce the risk of the virus transmission and to support student health needs. Along with that would be inspection, testing, maintenance, repair, replacement, and upgrade projects to improve indoor air quality in schools. So there's expanded use of some of these funds. And I wanted to also say that it's not in the presentation, because it was just, I think, at the end of last week, the Assembly Bill 86 was passed, and that could be providing approximately another over $10 million in school reopening grants and the school reopening in-person instruction grants and expanded learning opportunity grants for Marysville Joint Unified. So a lot of money coming down the road. Next slide, please. This is just another slide I pulled from first interim so that we could see the examples of the things that we're using the CARES Act money for. And now we're looking at the testing, asymptomatic testing would be another CARES Act cost. I think we could just go on to the next slide, if you would. And so the state cash deferrals, I wanted to let you know that they are, just to remind you, cash deferrals are when our local control funding formula says that we should be getting a little over $101 million in LCFF funding, and the state is saying, okay, we owe you that, but you're not actually going to get it all this year. And I believe it was about $30 million that they're deferring to next year. So next slide, please. And so that's what cash deferrals are. And this may look familiar too. And then I added the little box that shows that we are in a better projected year in cash balance than we were in December, and a variety of reasons for that. But you can also see that the I placed the actual cash balances from both year 18-19 and 19-20, and it went from 38 million, 37 million, and with the deferrals, we'll be down to 25.5 million. But that's still enough to fund what we need to fund, and we're very fortunate because there are many, many districts that are borrowing cash to go get through the year because of these deferrals, the significant deferrals. In the governor's budget proposal, there is funds to pay them down for next year if that passes through until, you know, it's still a proposal until it's enacted by the governor in usually the end of June or July. And there is, though, one still that would remain according to the proposal, and that would be the June to July. So we'll see how that goes. It's a little concerning because while next year, if they maintain that next year, when we think back to the projected state budget shortfalls in the out years, I'm worried they may not have the money to pick that one up, and that we'll maintain a 1 month cash deferral for more than another year. But we don't know that yet. So let's go on, please. Revenue and expenditures. So this is where we're going to look at, this is revenue, unrestricted general fund. We're comparing the first interim revenue to the second interim revenue. And the second interim column's in yellow at the top, and then the difference. So we can see here where that $1 million in LCFF sources reduction occurred. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. I don't know if you've had a chance to preview the PowerPoint, but I have some more information on that. And then on the 0.3% increase in local revenue, we had, I didn't note it here, but we had a $242,000 workman's comp dividend. So, and then there were $22,000 in safety credits. And the balance, I think, was some STIRS adjustments. So that was a positive there. And for a net difference of a loss of $700,000. So next slide, please. Here I wanted to talk about that decrease of the $1 million. And it's based on our decrease in our unduplicated pupil percentage. Just 1.86% equaled the $1 million difference. And if you'll recall, unduplicated pupils are those pupils that are counted as the socioeconomically disadvantaged, the English learners, and the foster youth. And it's unduplicated because we could have one student that's all three, but we just count them once, therefore the unduplicated. Every 4 years, we have to recount these students, and this was our year. Even, you know, unfortunately, during COVID, as Superintendent Cena mentioned, this year we had to do the recount. And I might state too that other districts throughout the state have experienced significant decreases in their UPP, and some as high as the 25%. And then they had school services had a complete article on these decreases. And they're of the 10 largest school districts in the state, the highest decrease was over 15%. And if for us, 1.86% was a million, I hate to even think what some of the you know, whichever districts are that are even larger decreases. It's got to be a horrific hit to their budgets. Let's go to the next slide. And here's a snapshot of how our local control funding formula is calculated. I don't mean to go through it and for everyone to understand all of it. Just real simply, the ADA column on the far left within the box, those are the numbers of students based on the amount of time they're at school. And then we have our base grant. Because there's two pieces to the LCFF, the base grant, the supplemental concentration grant. There's a couple of grade span add-ons, and as you can see, that first one, that's $801, that's for our TK3, and that helps us fund those lower class sizes of 24-1. And then we get an extra $243 per student for the grades 9 through 12, our secondary students, because their programs are typically more expensive to run. So the states made those augmented fundings. And so in the green, up at the top, you see the 79.44%. That gets calculated in, and we have our supplemental and our concentration grant amounts that ultimately get us to the $101,600,000 plus for our second interim LCFF. Next slide, please. So here's like a drilling in to that unduplicated pupil count. And you see those two combined equal the almost the 21.9 million. I'm looking at the bottom, the 12.4 and the 9.5. That's our second interim number. But starting at the top where we lose the 1.86, you can see where the first interim, we were at almost 23 million. With the loss, we're at almost 22 million. And so next slide, please. And so what are we going to do to increase our UPP funding? So what we'll do, we had an extended timeline this year, and I think that was on purpose because it was so difficult for students, like Superintendent Cena said, to so difficult for school districts to be able to reach out to families. Some of them, you know, we just weren't available with the distance learning to be able to complete the alternative benefits forms, which are required to determine the eligibility. So our action is by October 31st, which is the traditional deadline, our staff is going to once again reach out and ask them to complete that form, just like we did this year. And there was tremendous effort by our school sites to do this. I can't tell you how much emphasis was placed on it, how much outreach was done, and they did a great job, and we're going to do it again. And our goal is to capture every eligible student so that our students receive the maximum funding that they deserve. Next slide, please. So that moves us into our expenditures. So that was all about our revenue. And now here's the expenditures. This is pretty standard. We're looking again at first interim, second interim compared to the first interim and what the differences are. And everything decreased on the expenditures except for capital outlay, and that was for the new school buses we're purchasing. And some of that funding was also through grants that would have showed up on the revenue side, the restricted revenue side. So decrease in expenditures, and of course, that's mainly due to the fact that our students are distance learning. So there were a lot of expenses that weren't, typical expenses that weren't actually incurred. So let's go ahead and move to our ending fund balance and the general fund. And the next slide, there we go. So, this is a look at the unrestricted and the restricted. I always like to make the statement that, you know, ending fund balance is one-time money. So, and then we also have cash deferrals, which is why it's good. And I'm glad for the board's prudence and how they've taken very seriously their fiduciary responsibility over the years so that we can maintain a sound reserve and ending fund balance, because as any fiscal crisis that occurs, if we have that one-time money like a bank account, it offers us time to make the best decisions for any reductions that might be made instead of having to do them in a hurried and perhaps inefficient manner that would be harmful to our students and staff. But this allows us to weather the cash deferrals and have that sound balance. There is the assignments. There are specifics on page 19 of the full report. I didn't note it all here, but you've probably seen or heard before. We have some one-time facility money. There's one future 2023 original COPS payment from the certificate of participation financing that paid for previous year's school facility funding, school facility buildings. And so one of those is in there. There's textbook money, a variety. There's some funds for the early in the preschool grant. I can't remember the acronym for it, sorry. But overall, the unassigned unappropriated $27.8 million is about 19.6%. We could move on to multi-year projections. I wanted to it makes me think of Ron Bennett, rest his soul. He led school services for a long time, and he used to always say, it's exactly wrong, but approximately right. And so when we do our multi-year projections, it's important to understand that we create them based on the assumptions of what we know right now. As soon as those assumptions change, so will the multi-year projections. So we expect them to change. They're not the same as a forecast, which is like a prediction of what will happen with a much higher degree of implied accuracy. These are projections. We're required. The county office uses these to review our budget, and the state does as well to determine our financial position, if you will. So let's move on to what the numbers look like. Multi-year projection. This is our unrestricted general fund, and you can see the nuts and bolts of it are that we have a little bit of deficit spending this year. Less than $1 million of deficit spending projected for next year, and that's probably due to that 3.84% COLA that's proposed, and which is in this multi-year projection, which is the assumption we know right now. And then the next year was, I believe, was it 2.98? Those COLAs are in here. What's not in here are any salary increases or anything, but that, will be determined. So next slide, please. Risk factors that may harm the budget. We know that what Dr. Greco said, don't focus on, but we know that there'll be a cost that we'll need as we mitigate learning loss. Any other unknown COVID expenses, because we don't really, we're still all learning like everybody else. We do have the asymptomatic testing. But what I've noticed about testing is that the cost is going down. It's sort of like technology. So that's a good thing. But then there's the potential for the smaller, but perhaps ongoing deferrals that June to July. And then one thing that the school district community was really hopeful was that in the governor's budget proposal, there would be some more something to help mitigate school district liability, but it was not part of the proposal. So that's a risk in the future. We don't know what that might bring. And then, of course, the costs for providing additional services to our students in need. And next slide, please. So we have a resounding positive financial certification. There's positive, there's qualified, and then there's negative. And positive means that we can meet current year plus the subsequent 2 years of expenses. And qualified would mean that we may or may not, and then negative means you're in big trouble and you won't. But we are soundly a positive certification, and that'll bring us, I believe, to next steps, which are the governor's May revision that I mentioned earlier. That'll help us finalize numbers, assumptions for next year's budget. And then in June, we'll adopt the LCAP and the budget for next year. And that's it. So I'll take any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mrs. Lawson. Board members, do you have any comments or questions?
Yes, Mrs. Lawson, I do. Can you, the ESSER funds, those are restricted funds, correct?
The ESSER funds, the new funds are, have an expanded, it's pretty wide open on the new $13.1 million.
That's the ESSER 2, correct?
Yes.
Okay. The reason I ask is because we just passed a motion not too far back about upgrading our solar systems, which actually had a component in there for the ionization units that are out in our schools, which is extremely important. I did notice, and that was really quick, but I did notice that would that particular piece fall under the ESSER funds be able to maybe take care or a portion of that amount of monies for the ionization pieces?
You know, that's something that we could certainly look at.
Okay.
That's something we could look at because the financing that we have is our funding. We just have to ensure the savings are there to meet the payments. So if we can use money, backfill it, let me look into that.
I just saw that there. So I appreciate that. And if we could follow up with that, I'd like to find out. Thank you.
Other board members, comments or questions? So, Ms. Lawson, I have one question. When we're back on the deferrals, so it looks as though that it said the February payment was going to be deferred to November. So does that mean we didn't get paid for February?
It's a portion of it.
A portion.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I can send you the schedule of how much percentage. But overall, it's substantial. It was about $30 million being deferred from this year to next. But it's percentages of each of the months.
Okay. So it looks like we're probably having those same percentages for each of the rest of the months of this school year?
No.
Probably. No.
Change, but I have
it always.
That. I can certainly share that with the board.
Okay, thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Any other comments or questions from board members? I do want to say thank you very much, Mrs. Lossing. That's very helpful. You're a very good presentation, so thank you. Not hearing any other comments or questions, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Trustee Davis. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Doug Criddle. Roll call vote. Trustee Davis.
Yes.
Trustee Crawford.
Yes.
Trustee Boom.
Yes.
Trustee Doug Criddle.
Yes.
Trustee Hasty. Trustee Gary Criddle.
Yes.
Trustee Rasmussen. Yes. Motion carries. 7 yes. So that is our last agenda item. Again, I would like to thank Mr. Williams and his team for our first adventure of trying to run a meeting in this fashion. Hopefully it turned out well for our listeners. Thank you very much. Meeting adjourned.